Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning. If you're listening live, it's Thursday morning, April 7th. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Thank you for bringing me with you wherever it is you're going. If it's housework or work or driving in the car or trying to fall asleep, because my husband says I'm really good at that. So if you're having insomnia and having trouble sleeping, just plug in an archive podcast of A Seeking Heart. You can get those over at breadboxmedia.podbean.com. And apparently I will be your sleep aid. Glad I could help. I'm so happy you are with me today, and I look forward to sharing with you today's book. This week's book is Saint Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory from Susan Tassoni, and she is going to join me tomorrow live, 10 a.m. Pretty excited about that. We have been working on the technical difficulties of last Friday. She's going to be phoning in. So we make sure we've been praying over those and just asking the Lord to remove all the obstacles. Sister Leah Hill was so gracious in dealing with just the technology, which she did admit on air that it's just something that seems to follow her. So we're hoping that that's gone while she's no longer, she's not the guest. We're hoping that those problems are gone with her. Though she really is a doll and funny, funny woman. Just, I love that she is crabby by nature, but then makes all of us laugh. And if you have not read Blessed Are the Stressed, out again from Pauline Books and Media, I can't recommend it enough. Last week, I gave away two copies of the book. I'm back. Finally got my act together. It took me 3 months to get back on the weekly giveaways. And this week, we're giving away two copies to one winner this time. Last week, I gave away two. We have three winners because we have three prizes. That's the word. Fancy word for things. Prizes. But for Susan Tassoni's books, you will get both of them. You'll get Praying with the Saints for Holy Souls in Purgatory and this week's book, St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, both from our Sunday visitor. I have those on hand and I'll be sending them out to the winner. And the other prize will come from Debbie Gaudino. She is joining me in the next 2 weeks for the 14-day Heroic Minute Challenge. She's from saints365.blogspot.com. And she's giving away The Way from St. Jose Maria Escriva, which is just wicked fun to say. Just super fun to say his name. And the Heroic Challenge, the Heroic Minute, is actually based on his teaching in The Way. He gave lots of spiritual direction to lay people. And Debbie wrote about it on her blog, and when I had her on the show, you could actually listen to that show if you go to breadboxmedia.podbean.com and look up Debbie. Seriously, just type in Debbie. She's the first one, I think the only one that comes up. And we talk about why they were doing this heroic challenge, heroic minute challenge, and not what it's all about. And she's giving away a copy of The Way. And I was thinking, I'd love to throw in another prize. Like, what could I give? And if you were following along back at the last year, you know that I spent a lot of time doing 54-day rosary novenas. I did two of them. I think I started in June. That's when the Lord kicked me out of the house and made me walk outside for 54 days around my home. And then I finished that one and I went to this meeting. My friend was speaking at an Altrea, which is like follow-up meetings to the Crucio retreat movement. And so I went with her because I was speaking at her church the next day. And I thought, if you're going to listen to me, I'm going to come listen to you. Seems only fair, right? So I went with her that night and she finishes speaking and they do small group discussion. And I kind of got kind of grabbed into a small group. I felt kind of awkward. While I've been on Crucio, I wasn't really part of their Altrea, but it was huge. It was like 100 and something people. It was like really amazing. So our small group starts and we're going around the room, the circle, just talking about how our week's been or a month or whatever we've been up to spiritually. And I shared that I had just finished a 54-day rosary novena, but that I didn't feel it was very fruitful and I was still quite struggling. And this woman, this elderly woman, goes quickly to her purse and pulls out this tattered, lovingly used 54-day Rosary to Our Lady, Novena to Our Lady booklet, prayer booklet. And she said, I've been using this for years. It was given to me and I want you to have it. And usually I'm like, no, 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 no. But this time I just knew I was supposed to be like, yeah, 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 give it to me. So I took it home and I prayed it. I started, that was in October. And then November and December came and our lives just became just, you know, we lost my father-in-law and we lost Brett and we were struggling financially and things were, and Ian ended up in the hospital. Like things were getting very difficult. And I realized at that moment when the Lord had that woman hand me this novena booklet that he was giving me the tools I was going to need to be prepared and graced with everything that I needed to get through that time. Didn't make it, I know I take that back. It did make it easier. It didn't change the circumstances. Sometimes I pray and I want God to change the circumstances. Like here, I'm offering you these wonderful prayers, 54 days of saying the rosary in a row. And now I expect you to make everything okay, God. So thanks for playing along. It's like, that's not how that works. That's not how any of this works. Favorite commercial, in case you can't tell. It just makes me laugh every time. The Geico commercial with the old ladies. And she pins things to her wall, literally. And the other one says, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. That's how I kind of feel about prayer sometimes. Like, this isn't how this works. It doesn't change the circumstances. Sometimes, I mean, we have seen in the Bible that the Lord changes his mind from prayer, changes the outcome due to our prayers, it says. But we know that the Lord loves us and he's going to bring forward for us what is important. Sorry, getting messages. I don't know why, but that's okay. Somebody is telling me I need to lose weight. What a surprise. Anyway, that was weird. Came up on my Skype while I was talking. I probably shouldn't have probably just infected my whole computer because that's never happened before. Okay, back to the regularly scheduled program. Do not click. Note to self, don't click on things. Anyway, so back to what we were talking about, which was how we pray and we expect the Lord to change things with our prayer. But what changes truly and what changed in this case was my heart. I found peace. I found more rest and the grace that I needed to accomplish what God had called me to do. And that in that case, it was just to be strong for my husband, to be there for my son, my sons, both of them, to not get lost in the depression that can sometimes overtake me or the anxiety that definitely overwhelms me. But that in that moment, that the Lord gave me new strength and comfort. And I know, and I'm sure of it, came from that prayer, from spending time with the rosary novena. So, long story longer, I want to share that with you. So one person, and I'm praying that the Lord just encourages their heart to apply, to join this giveaway, and you can do so on reconciledtoyou.com, and you click on radio show, and the little raffle copter, it's called, comes up, and it shows you how you can enter in, or you can go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook, and click on the giveaway tab at the top of that page, and the same raffle copter will come up, and you can just follow those directions. It's, you know, visit us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow me on Pinterest, follow our Sunday visitor, and to visit Susan Tassone's website, visit saints365.blogspot.com. Real simple stuff, really, really simple stuff. And then you will be entered. And with each one of those actions, you get an extra entry into winning either Susan's books, The Way from Jose Maria Escriva, or the rosary novena and the actual rosary that I prayed on. I figured it brought me so much comfort. It's a knotted rosary. I've also done the Our Lady of Undoer of Knots on it. One thing about rosaries I feel very strongly about is that they're meant to be blessed, prayed upon, blessed, and given away. That there's a reason they're just, especially the knotted ones. You know, I just feel like those are meant to be shared. So that's what I'm offering this week. I hope you'll go over to either a Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page or reconciledtoyou.com and enter. That will be up until Sunday, April. No, I lied. It'll be up till Monday morning, April 11th at about 5 a.m., 6 a.m. So you have a lot of time to enter in, and I hope that you will. If you have any questions, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. We apologize for that little commercial interruption of clicking on that link. It was in, you know, the board talks to me, in Kentucky talks to me through Skype, and I thought it was something that they were trying to tell me. It was not. And I apparently, surprise, surprise, squirrel girl, saw a link and had to click on it. And she can't multitask. When I come back, I will not be multitasking. I will be giving you my full attention as we turn our attention to Saint Faustina and the book from Susan Tassone, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. And we're going to be talking about purgatory when we come back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. How is your week going? Are you doing the 14-day heroic minute challenge with me and Debbie Gaudino from saints365.blogspot.com? Would love to hear how it's going for you. The challenge again is to set a time for yourself to wake up every day. And the second the alarm rings, or if my case, your kid and husband walk in the room to wake you up and get you up, you get up. And the minute you are awake and realize that the Lord has given you another day, you praise Him for it, and you consecrate or give yourself to Him for that day. My prayers, my consecration prayer is very simple. I've had it for many, many years, and it's variates. I make up words. I know you've noticed that. It has different variations, but basically I say, thank you, Lord, for this day. Please bless and guide everything I will think, do, and say. I figure at the end of the day, if I've said that prayer and I've given the day to God and I've totally screwed it up, it's all His fault. Is that okay to say? Really, I'm probably a little too flippant. I'm probably like, you know, if you think of God as our Father, and we're His children. I'm not an infant or a toddler. I think I'm pretty much in the middle of let's say, my teenage years of faith. I'm spiritually a teenager. I'm flippant. I'm self-absorbed. Yeah, I've got some issues. I am spiritually a teenager. Where are you at? I'd love to hear where you think of yourself spiritually as a child of God. That just came to me. I'm going to make a little note. Maybe I'll even blog about that. That's kind of a fun concept. Give me a call at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. If you want to talk about purgatory or the 14-day heroic minute challenge or where you are spiritually, are you an infant, toddler, preschooler, teenager like me? Maybe you're an elderly person who has got just the peace of all those years, the wisdom of all those years behind you, and you feel pretty secure in your faith. Love to know where you're at. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, or you can leave me a message over at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook on Facebook, or text in at that same number, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Now I'm totally gonna go into the book. I know. Surprise, before the end of the show I actually made it. So Saint Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls and Purgatory, Susan Tassone from our Sunday Visitor. Excited to have her here tomorrow. She calls herself the Purgatory Lady. 19 books about purgatory. Good stuff. So I'm gonna go right to the back of the book where she talks about, of all things, imagine that, purgatory. Frequently asked questions about purgatory. First one, is purgatory a place or a state, and being a state of being? In his general audience of August 4th, 1999, Pope St. Paul John Paul II stressed the term purgatory, Susan writes, does not indicate a place, but rather a condition of existence of those who, after death, quote unquote, exist in a state of purification. He, John Paul, said, every trace of attachment to evil must be eliminated, every imperfection of the soul corrected. Purification must be complete, and indeed, this is precisely what is meant by the Church's teaching on purgatory. And when I started to study the Bible, one of the things I noticed was this purification that St. Paul talks about a lot by fire. And I was like, what is he talking about? How does this, like, how does purifying something in fire, like, how does that get out its iniquities and its imperfections? I would think it would just destroy it, because fire mostly destroys, unless you are a precious metal like gold or silver. And then that's when the heat, the fire, when the testing through fire purifies you, removes all your imperfections. And that's the analogy. I'm an analogy loving kind of girl. That's the idea that the Lord is trying to express to us, trying to teach us in that analogy about the precious metals. We're precious. We're a precious metal for God, of God. We're his daughters and sons. And he is purifying us through the fires of our life, through the challenges. And so saying that 54-day rosary novena that you have an opportunity to win the copy of, if you go over to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook, like that, those trials that I went through were purifying me. They were preparing me for, you know, preparing my heart and my soul to be connected with God. And only pure souls can see God. Like, we can't be in the presence of God. We can't obtain that beatific vision, which means seeing God, until we are pure, because he is pure. He is love. There's nothing in God that is not perfect. So we need to be equally perfect. Well, we'll never be equally, but we need to be purified of sin and attachment to sin and all that yucky stuff that we battle each day, and sometimes we win and most of the time we don't. We need to be rid of that. And so this is how it is done. And it's, as she says, where is that in the Bible? Well, she says you can start with it at Maccabees 12, 43 through 45, where Judas Maccabees orders prayers and sacrifices for the fallen soldiers who committed idolatry. See how close those two words are? Idolatry shortly before their death. Their beseeching implies there's hope beyond the grave for those who defiled themselves. And then we see it, she says again, in the New Testament, when St. Paul hints at the cleansing fires of purgatory, which I've just explained. And again, whenever we're taught in the scriptures about, you know, those who have died, and they were talking about praying for them, well, why would God tell us to pray for them if there was no hope for them? That would make no sense. God doesn't tell us to do things that are impossible or that are fruitless. Everything he tells us is truth, and it's in love, and it is to give us a hope. And our hope is in him. Well, we're told to pray for those who have died really teaches us that there is merit to that. There's a purpose and a plan for praying for people who have died. So it's one of the spiritual works of mercy. It's the corporal works of mercy is to bury the dead, which includes praying for them and giving that the proper burial, the proper rite of burial. So how important is death, that it's both corporal and spiritual work, that the Lord teaches us this in his word, that we're to pray for others. So if there's only two options, heaven or hell, then it would make no sense to be, to tell, like, why would you need to pray for somebody who's in heaven? And if there's no way out of hell, what's the point of praying then either, right? So it makes perfect sense to me, and it always has, that there is a purgatory. Now, one of the things I've always said, kind of jokingly, but not completely jokingly, is that I'm kind of shooting for purgatory. Like, I figure if I could just get my toe in the door of purgatory, I'm good to go. But St. Therese of Lisieux was indignant. She got so angry. It was just another bad word there. And one of the sisters who said that she was aiming for purgatory. And she's like, blasphemy. Don't insult God like that. Like, God wants you in heaven, and he gives you every spiritual blessing and tool necessary, required to get to heaven. And Susan says that in her book too, St. Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory for Us from Our Sunday Visitor. She says that in here too. God doesn't make it impossible. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God never gives you a challenge that he doesn't prepare you for. You'll never will you be challenged beyond your strength, and never will you be asked to do something that you're not capable of doing. God's not like that. It just ain't like that. Yes, in my head it's going, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. That gets so not funny after a while. And I can't help myself. It's what's going through my head. And usually what goes through my head comes out my mouth, because I don't have a filter. I don't think I need a filter. I think I need a cork. Let's go back to some of these questions before we run out of time in this segment. On what purgatory is. So what are the most powerful means, let's look at that, to assist the holy souls in purgatory? And she lists, of course, first and foremost is the Mass. Padre Pio teaches that as well. Most of the saints do talk about the power of the Mass for the souls, for the holy souls in purgatory, for those people who have passed, who are there, they've seen God, and then they've been withdrawn from him. So they see Jesus, and they know they're so close. Like, God has said, you know, Jesus, God, three persons, one God, has made it known. You have salvation. You're assured of your salvation. However, you need to be purified. And we don't know whether that'll be a week, a day, years, until eternity. And time, we also don't know what time feels like in heaven as it feels here. You know, we know from the cross, Jesus, the Didymus, yes, that's his name, the good thief next to him, you know, says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in heaven. So whether that means he got a free pass because he's hanging with Jesus and he's acknowledging him as Christ, and that he's made his confession there up on the cross and received penance from his suffering of a crucifixion, who knows? Only God knows these things. But we do know that once you've received the blessing of purgatory, you are not going to end up in hell. You're going to eventually end up in heaven. And one of the greatest ways to help our loved ones there is to offer masses. We come back, we'll look at some of the other ways we can help the souls in purgatory. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today about St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls and Purgatory from author Susan Tassoni. She will be here tomorrow to join us and ask lots of questions about purgatory, the teaching on purgatory, saints. She is just incredible breadth of knowledge, because she's written 19 books on this subject. And again, this book is out from Our Sunday Visitor. You can also, you can win it this week along with Praying with Saints for Holy Souls in Purgatory. I've got two books I'll be sending you if you win. You can also win a chance at The Way from Saint Jose Maria Escriva that Debbie Gaudino from Saints 365 is giving away. And I'm also giving away, as I just told a very long story about, the Rosary and Our Lady, our 54-day novena to Our Lady that I'm sharing with you, and the rosaries. So I hope you will go to a Seeking Heart with Alice and Jinger's Facebook page or reconciledtoyou.com, click on radio show, and you can enter either at either place and share it with your friends. It's a great way to evangelize, is to share giveaways. People love free stuff. Speaking of free stuff, no, that's not free. Well, it's kind of free. It's a free way of helping your loved ones. You know, when somebody dies, you love and you miss, and there's sometimes there's regret around it. You know, I was just talking to Adam this week. I had a kind of a meltdown Tuesday night. I was out with a friend celebrating her 50th birthday. We've been friends for 32 years now. Just such a weird number to think about. And we drove by Adam's friend Brett's street. Brett is his friend, again, that took his life on a Christmas Eve this last year. And I drove by his street, and he was my preschool student. I've known him forever. He was just in our house like a week before. And just sometimes you just get overwrought with guilt. Like, what could I have done? What more could I have done? Like, why didn't I say this? Why didn't I do that? Like, I just reached out to his mother. Everything seemed to be under control. He was on medication. He was seeing a doctor. He was in therapy. He had been hospitalized. Every possible thing they could have done to help prevent this tragedy was done. Yet, I still have moments thinking, what more could I have done? What could I have said? Why didn't I say this? Why didn't I do that? And I went downstairs. My son was practicing for, actually, they're having a fundraiser for a scholarship in Brett's name on the 16th. It taught in high school. If you're a local person and you want to show up, Adam and his band, Say It Ain't So, are playing. And part of Adam's drum set is Brett's drum set. His family very generously gave it to Adam. And so he mixed it with his own, and he's going to be playing it. And he was downstairs. He was had gotten new drum heads, and he's playing with it. And he, you know, we're just talking, and I just all of a sudden lost. Have you ever had that happen? You like, everything seems just hunky dory fine, and then all of a sudden, the next moment, you're bawling your eyes out because like the world just kind of hits you. Well, Brett's death just kind of hit me as I looked at the set, and just my little buddy who, he's just amazed me through this whole thing. He was there when Brett died, and well, when Brett was found, actually, he wasn't there when Brett died, but he was there when Brett was found, and it's just very traumatic, and he's been through a lot, and yet he's just so joyful and so hopeful, and I lost it. So after I pulled it back together again, and I went upstairs, and I was just like, what can I do? Like, I can't go back and undo what I didn't say when that person was alive. You know, I just felt like in prayer, honestly, that the Lord just kind of comforted my heart and, you know, reminded me that in Brett's death, he became a hero. Five or six, I forget now the number, maybe six people received life that Christmas day because of Brett's organs. Like, they got miracles, Christmas miracles from that the Lord promises, Romans 8:28, to do good from all who love him. And Brett loved him, and his parents loved God, and I love God. And, you know, just all these people were praying and hoping, and the Lord truly did make good. And he gave life, or he gave a better quality of life to six people. And they were people who had been waiting a long time because Brett had a unique blood type. So these people had waited a long time, and it was a miracle. Like, his death was their miracle. And I don't like the way God answered that prayer to help Brett be better. And I'm sure, you know, because God tells us not to kill, right? Thou shall not kill. I'm sure this wasn't God's plan for Brett either, but through free will allowed Brett, for whatever reason, to accomplish what he set out to accomplish. But we know because of, you know, sin, mortal sin that, you know, we used to teach. I remember being taught this. I remember teaching this. You know, if you kill yourself, going to hell. Yeah, that was so erroneous, because part of the mortal sin, the sin that makes it so grave that it will separate you from God forever, is full consent of the will. It's knowing fully well what you're doing is wrong and doing it anyway. And I have not met anybody in the state of depression or contemplating suicide that was in a state where they completely knew the consequences of what they were doing. Depression is it's a mental and it's a medical condition. It wasn't a choice, you know, for him. I really wish we could have somehow kept him safer and helped him pass that. But for every reason, we couldn't. And the Lord made good of it. So anyway, you know, how can I help him? What can I do? And the Lord just reminded me that I can pray for his soul. You know, I can pray for him. And if he's already in heaven, my prayers are not wasted, because prayers are never wasted. The grace that comes from that prayer that I've offered up, the Lord will then use in another place, maybe for another soul that has nobody to pray for it. That's a really great way for us to pray each day in a way that's so selfless, is to pray for those who have no one to pray for them, either here on earth or in heaven. So I did get a lot of comfort. Maybe the tears didn't hurt, giving kind of cleansing that heart and giving me back peace, but the prayers helped even more, and being reminded that I'm called to pray for the souls in purgatory. Now, getting back to St. Faustina, prayer book for the holy souls in purgatory, and Susan Tassone's book, she says here, like, what are the most powerful means to assist the holy souls in purgatory, aside from the Mass, offering a Mass for those intentions? And I made a note to myself that I am kind of lax and lazy when it comes to having Masses said, and that I need to really step it up there a little bit, that step up that game. St. Padre Pio had experiences. He actually tells of an experience where he was praying in the church and he heard this noise on the altar, and he went to investigate, and there was a monk there, brother, who had passed away, and he was cleaning and tidying up the altar as a part of his penance, because he was in purgatory. He had not ascended yet to heaven, or had that next state of a sick existence where he's got the beatific vision and where he's seeing God forever, which is kind of neat. Well, more than just kind of neat. But he asked Padre Pio to say a Mass for him, because that would, you know, give his soul rest. It would, because they're not, you know, when you die, you no longer can gain merit for your own self. You can no longer pray yourself or into heaven, or you can no longer make atonement for your own sins. That comes through the purification process of purgatory, but is lessened by our prayers through the Masses. So he had asked Padre Pio for this blessing. And Padre Pio had said, well, I'll do it in the morning. And the soul got so angry with him. Like, why would you put off tomorrow what you could do for me now? If you only knew the suffering that I have, you would do this for me now. And so that reminded me, as I'm reading this, that how often I think, oh, I'll just call the church tomorrow, or I'll get that Mass said, you know, another time. And then weeks go by. I think there's a piece of paper in my pocketbook that has the names of four people I want to have Masses said for. I think that paper has been there since January 1st, and it's now April 7th. Shame on me. I pray for the souls every day. Like I said yesterday, I use the day-by-day book that Susan Tassone has out, again, from our Sunday Visitor. And every single day is a name. Today is Father George Almeida, who was my father's cousin. Never had the pleasure of meeting him, but he was also the pastor of the church I'm now at. I love how those little God sentences, like how the Lord just kind of weaves our lives together. We only see the back of the tapestry, and it seems kind of muddled and confusing, but you turn it over and then there's this beautiful image of the Lord weaves lives together. So today it's Father George Almeida that I'm praying for, and but I really need to get myself to the church and get some Masses said. So the other ways, effective ways of helping the souls, is the Rosary, Stations of the Cross, Eucharistic Adoration, and the Divine Mercy, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. which are all very effective, incredibly effective. At 3 o'clock is the Divine Mercy. And to say the Divine Mercy chaplet with somebody who is dying. I've done that. I've had the pleasure, the blessing of doing that twice. Once with my step-grandfather, who was a very... he didn't like anybody doing things for him. And I could almost see as I prayed this for him, he was getting agitated with me that I was taking time out of my day to pray for him. He was in a near catatonic state, but yet he was getting so aggravated with me, like, stop, don't do things for me. But I'm so grateful I had the opportunity to pray with him out loud before he passed away, and also my father-in-law, Hank. I was able to do that with him. And when I finished it, I said to him, when you pass away, if you're able, please send us a sign that lets us know that you are okay, that the Lord has heard our prayers and our supplications for you. And I asked him, the sign was to send me a Tigger, some kind of Tigger sign. Well, that day, looking through pictures, preparing for the funeral, I found a picture of Tigger, just randomly one of the kids had taken of the TV. Anyway, when we get back, we're going to talk more about purgatory and Susan Tassone's book. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Bread Box Media. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Bread Box Media. We're talking about purgatory today, specifically through the book St. Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory from Susan Tassone. Susan will be here tomorrow, our guest, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, live. Looking forward to speaking with the Purgatory Lady, as she calls herself. Very cool. We've been talking about the frequently asked questions about purgatory that she addresses in her book, the best ways to pray for the holy souls in purgatory. She also tells us why we call them the holy souls. So I thought I'd answer that. So, why are they called poor and holy? The holy souls in purgatory are called poor, Susan tells us, because this poverty is the loss of the sight of God. Their time of merit is over. They're unable to help themselves and don't know when they'll enter heaven. They're called holy because they can no longer sin, and they're absolutely sure of their salvation. So we're kind of all hoping to be, well, saints, first and foremost. A saint is somebody who is in heaven, and they're named and they're unnamed. If you didn't know that, anybody in heaven is a saint. We just don't always, the church doesn't always recognize and name all of them. Those who are in purgatory are called holy souls, and we call them the poor, as we said, because they are still waiting to be in the presence of God. But yet they are holy because they can no longer sin and they are assured of their salvation. That's a cool thing. We are redeemed through the work of Christ on the cross, which means we have the opportunity for heaven. We have the every grace and blessing, as they say, to enter heaven, to be saints. That's not even English. to be or not to be, that is the question. I want to be a saint. And so therefore there are things here on earth that I make a note to do. I make priority to do. First and foremost, I pray. I make God the center of my life. Eight years ago, I turned the internal talking to myself to a internal conversation with things of people of heaven. So when I am having a conversation in my head, I picture either this is a conversation with God himself, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with our Blessed Mother, with any one of the number saint posses, saints in my posse. I have Faustina and Therese and Padre Pio and Father Patrick Payton. Those are my four real go-to peeps. Don Bosco is another one that I really love. And Jane Chantal, De Chantal. She's the patroness of forgiveness in my eyes. And Owen Maria Goretti, also forgiveness saints. They're all people, since I do reconcile to ministries, forgiveness ministry, obviously, I lean on them a lot. but I don't talk to myself anymore. I turn myself to heaven. That way I feel like I'm always in prayer, because prayer is a conversation with God. And so if I'm having, or my guardian angel too, if I'm having these, you know, dialogues with heaven, then I'm having time of prayer. So that's first and foremost one of the ways I tried to keep myself on the right journey to heaven. And another way is to do the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. These are things that I've kind of always tried to put in the forefront of my mind, but in this year of mercy, this Jubilee year of mercy that Pope Francis has called, it's been more, you know, using the word, the verbiage, and thinking more specifically about what the corporal and spiritual works of mercy are. And of course, you can't talk about Faustina, who is all about mercy and teaching us mercy, giving us the Divine Mercy image, giving us the Divine Mercy chaplet, and the novena, and even the Divine Mercy Day, which we just had Sunday. It's the Sunday following Easter. Without thinking about the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and lo and behold, they're in the book. So excited to see that. Again, the book is St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, Susan Tassone, T-A-S-S-O-N-E. And this is from our Sunday visitor. And in here, it's an examination of conscience based on the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. How cool is that? And so another way to help us to be focused heavenlyward is to make frequent confession. You know, if we take those sins and iniquities on our soul and give them to God and are replaced with the grace that we need to not do them anymore, but also many saints have told us, you want to do your penance here on earth. You want to make amends and atonement here. Super easier to do it here on earth than it is in purgatory. Though you are still are in paradise, you're still in the, but think about this. I don't think there's any way we can possibly understand the suffering of purgatory, it not being a suffering like it is here on earth, that there's this joy in your heart because you know you've assured salvation, but yet that separation from God gives you the, that pain and that longing. And I think of it, like the only way I can even come close to understanding in any way, shape, or form is Christmas Eve when I was a kid. This is how I look at this idea of purgatory. It's that night before with all the presents wrapped and Santa on his way. And the anticipation when I was a little kid, I can't even remember what age. I'm going to say it was like 8 or 9. It was probably the height of this. When you couldn't sleep at all. You just longed for that next day. Maybe you'd ask for something extra special, or you just had no idea what Santa was bringing you or what your parents had purchased for you, and you just could not wait for the next day. Now, I think about purgatory being like an endless Christmas Eve of waiting for that next morning, for that Christmas morning to break, for your, you know, your parents to allow you to finally get out of bed and to tackle that Christmas stocking or gifts. And I know that pales to what it really entails. But so here is an examination of conscience. So going to confession is my way of frequently going to confession. I try to go weekly, if not biweekly, is my way to try to not carry so much sin that I'm so separated from God that I either have to spend eternity in purgatory or even a moment, though I'm assuming there's going to be some moments. Sorry to grieve you that way, Lord, but I'm kind of realistic that I think I'm going to spend a little time in purgatory. But in the meantime, I can do my best. As Jesus told St. Faustina, and again, you can read her diary, the St. Faustina's diary, which is a lot of what pretty much everything that Susan's pulling out from St. Faustina is from that diary in this wonderful little book, St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, from our Sunday visitor. Jesus told St. Faustina, write this for the many souls who are often worried because they do not have the material means with which to carry out an act of mercy. Yet spiritual mercy, which requires neither permissions nor storehouses, is much more material. There's much more merit to it. And within the grasp of every soul, if a soul does not exercise mercy somehow or another, it will not obtain my mercy on the day of judgment. Oh, if only souls knew, Jesus told Faustina, how to gather eternal treasure for themselves, they would not be judged, for they would forestall my judgment with their mercy. Wow, huh? Every time I read Faustina, something new from Faustina's diary, I am just, overwhelmed by what God teaches us. The spirituality of St. Faustina's order, the Congregation of Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy, included the apostolate of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Each of those works can be a way for us to assist the suffering souls. Unite the corporal and spiritual works, Susan writes, of mercy with the merciful Christ for the suffering souls. Let us bring comfort to the destitute and healing to those who suffer in body or spirit. Living out these works can be the direct means into heaven. The hunger, the thirst, the famine, the famine, and the drought of for God is the prayer of purgatory. These holy heroes are in desperate need of our good works and sacrifices, and the blessing that comes back to us is they become our intercessors. Out of gratitude for our praying for them, they pray and watch over us. And as I was reading that this morning and making my notes for the show, I took a moment to put everything aside and prayed for the holy souls in purgatory, some family members. And I always, again, pray for people who have no one to pray for. And I prayed for them. I asked them to pray then for my family. Within seconds, I had this complete realization that it was 5 minutes to 7 and that my son Ian had not gotten up for work. He was still asleep. And I was so grateful for them. And this is the true blessing and miraculous moment is that he got up and he left right away. And every other time that this has happened, because it happens quite often that he doesn't get up, he then makes himself later. He procrastinates and it becomes such a mess. He was still going to be a few minutes late for work, maybe 2 or 3. But the last time this happened, he was probably 30 minutes, if not more, late for work. So we pray for the holy souls. We look at the corporal and spiritual works of mercy and how we can put those into action and make sacrifices and prayer and supplication for the holy souls. We do rosaries. We say masses. We do the chaplet of divine mercy and the stations of the cross, especially during that 3 o'clock hour. And we believe and we will see. Trust me, again and again, every time I say, I can't believe in this stuff, this is just hokey, something will happen that just proves to me without a doubt, no, God is real. And there are a whole host, a cloud of witnesses who are also real, praying for us, and we should pray for them. Tomorrow I'll be joined by Susan Tassone, author of St. Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory from Our Sunday Visitor. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.